feeling better? Okay. Today we're at Deuteronomy chapter 10. So if you would open up your Bibles as we read, and please stand. Deuteronomy chapter 10, for as long as you can, if you choose to. At that time, the Lord said to me, "Cut out for yourself two tablets of stone like the former ones, and come up to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood for yourself. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered, and you shall put them in the ark." So I made an ark of acacia wood and cut out the two tablets of stone like the former ones, and went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And he wrote on the tablets like the former writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are as the Lord commanded me. Now the sons of Israel set out from Beeroth Benijakin to Mazareth. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered as priest in his place. From there they set out to Gogoda, and from Gogoda to Jebatha, a land of brooks of water. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve him, and to bless in his name until this day. Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him. I, moreover, stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights like the first time, and the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was not willing to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, "Arise, proceed on your journey ahead of the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. Circumcise then your heart and stiffen your neck no more, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven." You may be seated. Thus reads God's word. Deuteronomy 10:21. "He is your praise, and he is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen." In this morning's reading, Moses recounts once more the manner in which the Lord had taken such tremendous and miraculous care of his chosen nation. They had been utterly unfaithful at almost every point to the covenant that he had put into place with them. Despite their complete faithlessness, the Lord God Jehovah manifested his absolute faithfulness and his long-suffering and his providential and miraculous hand of sustenance throughout the years of their desert wandering. He had shown himself true and loving to the abiding reality of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Accordingly, Moses made this glorious statement, which was to encourage that people and to encourage us in the full consideration of all that God has done in the lives of His people. If we are truly cognizant of the full measure of the gracious, merciful, an absolutely miraculous work of God, then we would have to utterly fall on our faces in humble adoration of who God is and all that He has done and is doing. There is no other means of dealing with the reality of God except to proclaim with every fiber of our being that exclamation of the hymn, "How great Thou art." This leads to the truth that God is our praise. This is something that we often consider in terms of the fact that we are to give Him the praise and the glory and the adoration that He alone is due. There is no other who can claim that place of absolute and unreserved and perfect and singular worship from the entirety of His creation. Everything that has breath is to praise the Lord God Almighty. Accordingly, we are to be the full embodiment of that chorus of His adulation as we have witnessed and as we declare His work in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. His awesome hand is evidenced in the totality of the history of mankind as it is unfolded and as it reveals the unparalleled power and sovereignty of the Lord God Jehovah in all His dealings with humanity. Just as Moses declared in this morning's passage, "He is your praise, and He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen." Because we have been witnesses to His glorious work and miraculous omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence in our lives, we are to praise and honor and reverence and declare His majesty with the full force of our entire being. He deserves no less. There is another aspect to this passage which we often do not recognize, and that needs to be instilled into the core fabric of our essence. It is the truth that God Himself is our praise. It is not enough to consider Him in the terms of being the focal point of our meager, yet eager worship and sacrifices of adoration. We need to know that He has made Himself our very praise. He is the one who has manifested such love and such awesome and essential power in making us partakers of His own eternal life. He has instilled Himself into our very beings. The only reason that we can bring praise unto Him is because of His victorious power at work from within us to be our praise and our source of eternal conscious knowledge that He is the perfection of all adoration. Not only is He to be praised by us, but He is the praise and the glory that flows forth from our lives. Just as is so true that the faith that we have in Him comes from Him and is not our own, so also is the worship of Him that proceeds forth from the depths of our beings. He is the core operative functionality of all that we are. Moses highlighted this as we read in Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will extol Him. It is only through the majestic and manifest work of the Lord that we are enabled to praise and to glorify Him. He is the one who makes our way on this earth, meeting the every demand and trial and tribulation with His strength and His wisdom and His mercy and His grace and His salvation, which sustains and maintains us as we sojourn with Him. In full accordance with His heart after us and within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will often find our mouths and our minds bringing forth those psalms of praise and thanksgiving and adoration that just naturally flow forth from the depths of our beings. He is our praise, as He makes so very evident the glorious nature of Himself in our lives. Again, this is the heart of Moses for the people of God to understand and to express to the one who alone is worthy of all worship and all adoration. Please turn to Deuteronomy 4:32-39 and read this powerful statement of the Lord through the writing of Moses to the chosen people of God. It should strike a corresponding chord in our hearts before the majesty of the Most Holy One. Deuteronomy 4:32-39. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything been done like this great thing? Or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for Himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Out of the heavens He let you hear His voice to discipline you, and on earth He let you see His great fire, and you heard His words from the midst of the fire. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them, and He personally brought you from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Have we ever really taken to heart the truth that God has shown Himself to us in order for us to know that He is God? I mean this in the most reverent yet marked manner of looking back on the course of the lives that God has given you. Have we taken the time to do as Moses did in this passage, to recount to ourselves and to our family members, our spouses and our children, our parents and our siblings, how God has so worked to make Himself known to us personally? He is not some obtuse deity inhabiting the heavens above. He is abiding within us by His Holy Spirit. He has planned His work in our lives from before He set the foundation of the universe into place. He knows each one of us in an intimate detail. He knows each one of us by name. He knows the every action that we take and the every thought that courses through our minds. He has worked miraculously to make Himself known to us. It is through all His omnipotence and omniscience, and especially His omnipresence, that He has become the full and fundamental nature of who we are and how we view the history of all mankind. Now, please turn to 2 Samuel 7, 21 through 29. So we can read together what David understood as the glory of God was revealed in the manner in which the Lord so worked on the behalf of His nation. Again, as we read this passage, please take to heart the measure of how God has dealt with us in the course of His sovereign ruling and overruling. He brings us to the place where we can now give expression to the fact that He is our praise and our glory today, as He was Israel's grandeur then. 2 Samuel 7, 21 through 29. For the sake of Thy word, and according to Thine own heart, Thou hast done all this greatness to let Thy servant know. For this reason Thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like Thee, and there is no God besides Thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on earth is like Thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people, and to make a name for Himself, and to do a great thing for Thee, and awesome things for Thy land, before Thy people, whom Thou hast redeemed for Thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For thou hast established for thyself thy people Israel as thine own people forever. And thou, O Lord, hast become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as thou hast spoken, that thy name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And may the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast made a revelation to thy servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore thy servant has found courage to pray this prayer to thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are truth. And thou hast promised this good thing to thy servant. Now therefore may it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, has spoken, and with thy blessing may the house of thy servant be blessed forever. To truly know that the Lord has established the house of David forever through our Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Lord of all creation brings forth that glory that God alone is due. That praise just flows forth unstoppable from the depths of our hearts for the honor of the Lord God Almighty to be proclaimed. Now listen to the urging of the psalmist in Psalm 65:4 through 8, to let loose the praise of God from the deepest recesses of our hearts. He details how this relationship that God has opened up within His people is to be expressed within the praise and the glory of those who know Him. Psalm 65:4 through 8. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee to dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By awesome deeds thou dost answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. Thou who art the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who dost establish the mountains by His strength, being girded with might, who dost still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. And they who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of Thy signs. Thou dost make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. Next, we have the encouragement of the prophet Isaiah in the whole of Isaiah chapter 12, if you would open to it. Here, in even quoting the words of Moses from the passage that we read in Exodus, Isaiah declares the fullness and the refreshment of the tremendous and vibrant relationship that we have with the Lord. His presence within us reveals the majesty of His saving word in order to cause us to exclaim His glory with all our hearts. Isaiah 12. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, For although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou dost comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, and in that day you will say, Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now, please turn to Isaiah 60, 19 through 22. This is the passage that is quoted by John, the writer of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. This is because the Lord, through Isaiah, details just how much is set in the revealed worship of the Lord by the people of his choosing. Isaiah 60, 19 through 22. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane. For you will have the Lord for an everlasting life, and the days of your mourning will be finished. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. The prophet Jeremiah cried out to the Lord for this revelation and healing power of the Lord to become his own praise in Jeremiah 17, 13 and 14. It is all the work of the Lord that will create the ability within his people to be the testimony of praise and the instruments through whom that praise can come forth in his fullness of life. Jeremiah 17, 13 and 14. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake thee will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down, because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise. For thou art my praise. Moving ahead then into what we now call the new dispensation. We have that moment when the earthly parents of Jesus brought him to the temple at the appointed time. This is recorded in Luke 2, 25 through 32. Here, the old and the new are melded together, as declared by Simeon as he held the Christ child in his arms. This is what the entirety of the writers of the Old Testament were yearning to know. They all sought the Lord God Almighty to be their praise and worship through the promised glorious one of God. Luke 2, 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Jesus is the glory and the praise of his people. Of all those who know him as their living Savior and Lord. The history of the choosing of the nation of Israel by God was in order to have that people from whom his Christ could be brought forth as the Savior of the whole world. It was never just for the Jews, but for all humanity, whom God so loved that he sent forth his only begotten Son. All the nations are brought into this relationship of worship and praise in glory in Jesus Christ, as they have now been given access into the very heart of God, if they will but call upon him and believe in Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. This morning's final passage, Revelation 21:21-27, is in this direct light of our praise being the Lord. It is as proclaimed in the prophecy of Isaiah and revealed here by the writer of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:21-27. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nation shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gate shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Notice the glory and the praise and the honor that fills this whole picture of what will be in place as revealed only in the presence of God. It will be His glory that is shown by the nations as they all come together unto Him. Inherent in this is the overwhelming expression of the honor that God alone is due, and that proceeds from His throne unto His own people in the brilliance of His very light and love in Jesus Christ. So be it. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Amen.